from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, State Senate leader Kevin DeLeon and other lawmakers are trying to create workarounds for Californians hit with higher taxes due to the new federal tax plan. We'll hear from DeLeon on what he's considering and from others on whether such ideas could work. Then at 9:30, San Francisco Chronicle cannabis editor David Downs will join us for an update on how the state's new pot sales are going, and he'll take your questions. It's coming up after the news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Led by State Senate President Pro Tem Kevin DeLeon, state lawmakers are getting creative trying to figure out ways to soften the impact of the new federal tax law on Californians. High tax, high home cost states like California are hit hard by the Republicans' tax revamp, and particularly objectionable is the law's $10,000 cap on state and local tax deductions, something previously unlimited. Lawmakers are looking for what some might call loopholes, others might call workarounds to protect Californians from a tax hike due to the new law. A couple of options currently being floated include replacing income tax payments with fully deductible charitable donations to the state or shifting from an income to a payroll tax. Senator Kevin DeLeon will join us during this opening half-hour segment, but first let's get started with KQED's politics and government desk editor Scott Schaefer. Good morning, Scott.
Hi, Michael.
And we'll also say good morning and hi to Alan Arbach, who joins us as well, director of the Center for Tax Policy and Public Finance at UC Berkeley. Good morning,
hi.
Alan Arbach. Hi to you. And we want to hear from you about these proposals. You can actually call us now at 866-733-6786, that number again. And remember, this is a half-hour segment, so if you want to get involved, do call us early. The number is 866-733-6786, or you, of course, can email us, forum at kqed.org. So let's start with Scott Schaefer and kind of get the picture here. Some are calling this an act of vengeance against the blue states. I mean, California, New York, and New Jersey are getting particularly hard by this $10,000 limit. But there is some action in the state legislature, and as I said, we'll hear from Kevin DeLeon about this. Senator DeLeon will be joining us later in this segment. But let's talk about these workarounds and what they really mean. They're kind of going toward federal tax breaks, essentially, aren't they?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, you know, California, of course, has, along with New York and Connecticut, New Jersey, become sort of the states of resistance to the Trump agenda. And so it's not surprising that you're seeing California legislators and others talking about what to do. And, you know, anybody who scrambled at the end of the year to decide whether or not to make an early payment on their property taxes knows that Californians are going to feel this, at least some Californians. And so there are several things, as you said, that legislators are looking for. And I know Senator DeLeon will go into more detail. But, you know, one would allow the state to give a tax credit for income tax that folks pay. And then that money would be made up through a charitable contribution that could then be deductible on your federal taxes, basically make people whole.
So that, excuse me, they do this in red states, South Carolina and Florida, for
they
example,
do.
And, for vouchers largely.
Yes. And California actually instituted something similar for higher education. So it is not unprecedented, but, you know, we don't know. There are many obstacles, we should just say. I mean, this is the beginning of the legislative session for this year, and this is one of many ideas that's going to be floated. There's also talk of having businesses reduce workers' pay in exchange for having the businesses pay the income tax. And so that would be deductible for the businesses. So there's a number of
payroll taxes they're talking about.
Yeah, payroll taxes. And so they're looking for, and, you know, and then of course, I'm sure others are going through the tax bill itself to see what kind of loopholes there might be. And there may be many. So the problem is, I think politically, Michael, is some of these things where you are technically creating new revenue sources require a two-thirds vote. And you're not going to get any Republican votes, I'm sure of that. And Democrats are, you know, a little bit, they have some empty seats right now with resignations and various things. So it's tough. And then, of course, we haven't even talked about the governor, who is always cautious on revenue and fiscal matters. He's putting out his budget next week. And I would be surprised if you're going to see him embrace some kind of fundamental change to the tax code in his final year in office. I just think that would be very risky and sort of not the kind of thing Jerry Brown typically wholeheartedly embraces.
Well, two of his fellow Democrats had an article in this morning's Chronicle. I don't know if you saw it, but Laura Tyson and Bob Hertzberg, and they said, let's have low tax on high-end services.
There are a lot of things that could be floated. Look, California's tax system needs to be reformed. I mean, one of the problems is that we are over-reliant on income tax. And that's partly because of Prop 13. You know, there's a real cap on property tax increases for homeowners and commercial businesses. There's a ballot measure now circulating that would allow seniors to take some of that reduced tax payment into a new house that they bought. That's being pushed, I believe, by realtors. This may also reinvigorate talk of a split roll where commercial property is removed from that protection of Prop 13 to generate more revenue from businesses. So I think it is a new day, there's a lot of wound licking going on right now as this tax bill takes effect, and the implications are just now really being understood.
Well, one other thing, and then I want to hear from Alan Auerbach, who can break this down for us even more, is the challenge on constitutional grounds. I mean, that's being floated around, and that's a real possibility, unfair to certain states because 16th Amendment would, in fact, be in play.
Yeah, and I actually reached out to the Attorney General's office, Javier Becerra, yesterday. They're looking into possible, you know, California has sued the Trump administration, I think, over 45 times. New York has filed 100 lawsuits in the first year. So you can be sure that the attorneys general in the blue states are talking to each other, looking for ways to go at this, just as they did with the travel ban and the sanctuary cities, threats to federal funding, that sort of thing.
Again, Scott Schaefer with us, who is senior editor for KQED's California Politics and Government Desk. And Alan Auerbach is Robert D. Birch Professor of Economics and Law, and that's at UC Berkeley, and directs the Robert D. Birch Center for Tax Policy and Public Finance. Well, I think, Alan Auerbach, it's safe to say that you're kind of skeptical about workaround, difficult,
well,
unlikely?
Yeah, I am. I think lawsuits against under the 16th Amendment, I think that is likely to go nowhere. The credit, it's true that there are various programs. We also have one in California for conservation easements, credits for that. The programs that exist have been expanding, and so one could imagine that we could go further by simply allowing people to make charitable contributions in lieu of state income taxes. At some point, one has to imagine that the Internal Revenue Service would say, you can't do this anymore. Now, exactly how they would do that, we don't know. And so this could be something that could end up in extended litigation, perhaps before the Supreme Court, in the same way that the Supreme Court had to decide whether the individual mandate under the Affordable Care Act was actually a tax. But I don't think that this will be just a smooth thing for California to do and other states if we actually try to do it on such a large scale. There are other approaches, such as substituting an employer payroll tax for individual income taxes.
That's plausible, isn't it?
It's certainly could be done, subject, of course, as you suggested, to the requirements for two-thirds vote in the state legislature. But I don't think there would be any federal problem with that. The more significant problem, even if we were able to adopt it, would be that it would have potentially significant economic disruptions because it would be shifting the burden of taxation from employees to employers. Now, yes, you could try to have some sort of arrangement where employees who had their tax liabilities reduced would accept lower wages, but I'm not sure how you would mandate that at the state level. And indeed, in some cases, it would come in conflict with other laws, such as the minimum wage laws that we've adopted.
So what would you see as the best course of action here? What would you even recommend?
I think the most likely outcome is going to be one where we exercise our unhappiness at the ballot box. And I think the 2018 congressional elections are going to be the first place where we see action. I think that individual states may very well try to do something, and I think that may push the Internal Revenue Service to react. In general, this is an illustration of what happens when you rush tax legislation through very quickly without taking account of all the possible consequences.
Scott Schaefer.
I would just add, Michael, too, this tax law doesn't directly affect state revenues. You know, it affects individual taxpayers. And so the concern here is to make them whole, not to fix a hole in the state budget that's created by this tax bill. And just take one of these ideas, the idea of providing a charitable contribution for a portion of your income tax. How would that work? You'd have to so the money gets taken out of your pay, as it normally does, the taxes, and then you're going to go at the end of the year and write a check for whatever it might be, several thousand dollars, send it to this government entity. Who's going to have the time and the wherewithal to do that? I suppose people who can afford that would have accountants and lawyers to deal with it for them. But it's a, you know, it's a two or three step process that most people are not, generally, they're certainly not used to doing now. And whether they could become used to doing it or fond of it, is an open question. I think is also a question whether this could generate some kind of a tax revolt, which is also what the Republicans, of course, are hoping happens.
Well, there are ideas being floated around in Sacramento, and we thought we'd talk to Kevin De Leon about what those are, too. He's Senate President Pro Tem. He represents the 24th Senate District, which includes Los Angeles and surrounding communities. And good to have you with us, Kevin De Leon. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Michael. It's a pleasure to be with you, as always.
Glad to have you back. Well, what about workarounds? I mean, you're putting some ideas forward. I know you said this is a highly unusual tax policy making.
It is. Listen, this is a very unique period in our history, and the reality is this, is that the GOP tax scam offers corporations and hedge fund managers massive tax breaks and expects ordinary taxpayers in blue states like California, the sixth largest economy in the world, to pick up the cost of that windfall for the very super rich. California is already a huge donor state, meaning we send far more money to Washington than we get in return. So we don't plan on bankrolling this trillion-dollar tax giveaway to the wealthy as well. So our proposal would create a state fund taxpayer. Taxpayers can contribute to, and in exchange, they will get dollar-for-dollar reduction in their state taxes. So assume that you're the average taxpayer in California that deducted $22,000 in state and local taxes from your federal tax returns. And under this proposal, you can contribute $22,000 to the state charitable fund. You would get $22,000 off your state tax obligation. But crucially, then using the federal charitable contribution rules, the taxpayer can deduct the entire contribution from their federal taxes, exactly as they would have under the state and local tax deduction that Donald Trump wiped out. So the state is held harmless. We continue to pay for our critical services such as education, higher education, community colleges, public safety, healthcare, and our taxpayers aren't slammed with a huge tax bill to pay for the Wall Street tax cut. So we're trying to be creative. We're trying to be innovative.
Isn't this also what some might call gaming the system?
Well, listen, that wasn't my word. You know, I think some folks took journalistic liberty to use that word gaming in the New York Times. I'm trying to do everything within my power to protect the taxpayers of California. That's my role. My role is not to protect Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, or Donald Trump, or red states. My role is to protect the taxpayers of California, and we're going to have to do a workaround if we're going to save the taxpayers of California.
Well, let me ask the taxpayers of California or anybody else who's listening and wants to join us to call us now and let us know your response to this or any questions you might have. In fact, we invite your participation in the program. And let me give you the toll-free number to become part of the program. It's 866-733-6786. You can join us now. We invite you to do that. Again, please feel free to call us and be part of the program. The number 866-733-6786. Other ways that you have opportunity to join us with your questions or comments by emailing us forum@kqed.org or going to our website kqed.org/forum and click on the forum. Just click on forum and you'll get to us. You can also, of course, tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. And looking at a listener comment right now of somebody who's writing, maybe if California and the other big blue states had accepted that Trump was our president, our high-income earners would not be so penalized. In terms of the stages of grief, I don't think our Democratic leaders have gotten past denial and anger. And you say what, Senator De Leon?
Well, listen, we've led the resistance when it comes to climate change, when it comes to the environment, the air that we breathe, the water we drink. You know, we've led the resistance to protecting hardworking immigrants as well as our young dreamers. So this is just, you know, the same old, you know, post and parcel. We're leading the resistance to protect the taxpayers of California. The reality is this. We're the sixth largest economy in the world, and you have a sitting president that has intentionally sought out to damage and hurt the economy of a great state like California and other states like New York, New Jersey, as well as Connecticut. So we have to do everything within our power to defend ourselves.
All right. We're going to go to the calls, but let me go back to Alan Auerbach for just a moment, if I may, Professor Auerbach. States are also looking to preserve the individual health insurance mandate. Talk about automatic enrollment for how eligibility and that sort of thing. I mean, again, this would, of course, go contrary to what we're getting out of the Trump administration. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, you know, the states vary quite a bit. States like California have been, even without the individual mandate, have been encouraging individuals to sign up for the health care exchanges and for the Medicaid expansion. And other states that were opposed to the Affordable Care Act have done what they could to make the system not work very well. I'm not sure exactly how individual states would override the repeal of the individual mandate, but I think what we've learned from looking at the experience in different states is that a lot of the variation in signing up for the exchanges doesn't necessarily relate to the mandate. It relates to information. A lot of people simply aren't informed or don't understand what a advantage it is for them to sign up.
I'm afraid that's true, and we try to fill that gap as much as we can. We also try to get callers on here, and let's get to Gabriella first. Gabriella, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm trying to understand why Senator De Leon thinks that this charitable donation write-off would end up actually working, because it seems like a really easy auditable thing, that it's really noticeable, and it's obvious that at this point, you know, up until now, taxes have never been considered to be charitable donations. So why would we believe that the federal government would allow Californians to do that on their taxes?
Gabriela, thank you for the question. Senator De Leon.
Well, thank you for the question, Gabriela. I actually model this potential law after a program that I created back in 2014. This is already chaptered into law that allows for charitable donations to state colleges so they can provide affordability grants. So this is a model that I've used in the past. This is a model that I'd like to take in mass for a state like California. Again, we have to be creative. We have to be innovative, and the workarounds, so we can, you know, preserve the status of taxpayers of California. Because again, I think it's completely unfair and simply just not right that taxpayers of California get fleeced by Washington, so they can subsidize other red states.
And you're going to introduce this proposal when, Senator De Leon?
It should be this week. We'll be introducing it this week. We'll put it across the desk, and we will work with my colleagues, you know, on the assembly side as well as the governor. But, Michael, this is a very unique period in our history. So it is very clear that we have a president that has sought out to harm the sixth largest economy in the world. When you harm California, you harm America's economic engine and the rest of the country as well. So we have to be innovative. We have to be creative. And I heard one of your guests speak earlier about this is what happens when you, in a very clumsy way, move forward very arcane, complex tax policy for political reasons, to get a political win at the end of 2017, because it's been politically disastrous. This has real economic consequences for a state like California.
Well, I'm reading a comment from a listener that dovetails with what you just said. Senator Tasha writes, this new tax plan is disproportionately designed to target blue states. These are the states which already pay the majority of the country's taxes. Let me bring another caller on. Martin, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, hey there. If Sacramento cares about California taxpayers, the obvious solution is for them to cut our taxes. We pay high property taxes, high sales tax. Isn't that the right solution?
I think that's to you, Senator.
Well, I'll say this, Michael. It doesn't make a difference if you're a Republican or Democrat. As an elected official, we have the responsibility to govern and to fund our public schools, our community colleges, our public universities, as well as critical programs for young children who have autism or Asperger's, as well as senior citizens who have early signs of dementia. If we, in fact, cut taxes even more so after the egregious tax cuts from Washington, D.C., we will automatically go and roll into a budget deficit in California, and we'll end up like a state like Kansas. We're the sixth largest economy because we've made very wise, prudent decision-making when it comes to raising revenue and investing in our infrastructure as well as our public schools. So that wouldn't be wise. I think that's a reactionary perspective that many Republicans have moved forward. If you continue to cut, you're not going to have money to pay the bills to fund our schools. It's just that simple. It's not rocket science.
Let me thank the caller. And Scott Schaefer, what about taxes on marijuana? We're going to be talking about it next segment. That is marijuana.
Yeah, well,
there's lots of money.
It is lots of money. But, you know, under the ballot measure that voters passed, that money is targeted for specific things. It doesn't just go into the general fund to pay for roads. And, you know, it's aimed at health care and addiction programs, specific things.
It's now, all parceled out.
Yeah. I mean, Senator DeLeon would know better than I if there's any wiggle room on that. But I believe that that money really isn't available for other uses.
Here's another caller. James joins us next. James, you're on.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, good morning. My wife and I bought a home in San Mateo County in 2017, and we pay like $10,000 in property tax. I was curious if the cap, does that $10,000 also include mortgage interest that we usually write off, or is that a separate cap?
Yeah, Alan Arbuck.
The $10,000 is a cap that covers state income taxes as well as local property taxes. So you add them up and you only get to deduct $10,000. There's a separate cap of $750,000 of the loan value on which you can deduct interest.
Let me thank the caller and move right along to you. Jack, thanks for waiting. You're on.
Good morning. My question is for Senator DeLeon. The idea of creating a charitable donation in lieu of state taxes is really fascinating, but what happens if the IRS disallows it, and what can you do if it does?
Well, currently right now, due to a ruling back in 2011, the IRS actually is allowing it to happen, not just in California, but several other states that use it for educational funding, such as Arizona and Florida. The point you raise is a valiant point, because if it's not the IRS, and we doubt highly it would be the IRS, but it could be Paul Ryan or Mitch McConnell, or it could be an executive action by Donald Trump himself. If that does happen and they attempt to revoke our authority to do so, then we will go to a court of law. We've dealt with them on the issue of climate as well as the environment in a court of law. We've dealt with them with the issue of sanctuary cities, sanctuary states in a court of law, where we have won already in a federal court, and it will be the same thing. It will go to court of law to protect our authority to move forward responsible, common-sense tax policy.
We've only got seconds left here, and Senator DeLeon, I'm going to have to ask you about something unrelated. It's right off the wire. Get a response quickly from you if I could. Capital Public Radio reported just yesterday that the California Senate's Human Resources Office knew about Senator Tony Mendoza's alleged sex misconduct with a female student fellow in late September, but instead of immediately placing him on leave or finding a safer place for the young woman, Senate leaders left the fellow in Mendoza's office for another 6 weeks. Quick response from you, please.
Well, you know, we're finding out this information as we speak right now. It's been outsourced to an independent investigative body, counsel, so they can do what we believe will be a comprehensive investigative report. We'll get the conclusion hopefully within the next few weeks.
We'll have to leave it there. Thank you, Senator DeLeon. Thank you, Alan Arbuck. And thank you, Scott Schaefer. And when we return, we're going to talk about the new marijuana law. So stay tuned for that. It's out there and it's purchasable at this moment. I'm Michael Krasny. That's not an ad, by the way.